This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get over there!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me today on KMBZ 980 AM. If you're on the radio, if you're joining me on podcast, we are at Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google. You can catch us there. You can also catch us on YouTube. Search for Jason Grill. It's going to be a great show today. I'm happy to be joined again by a collaborator of the Grill Nation Show, Logan Freeman, who's one of the co-founders of FTW Investments. Their website is FTWinvestmentsLLC.com, and you can check out our page as well there at FTWinvestmentsLLC.com/Jason Grill. It's great to be back with you this week. Logan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm coming off of a trip, actually, to Austin, Texas, where I was invited down to speak to 40 real estate operators and capital raisers in the space. And it was that was my first time to Austin, Texas, which it's awesome. I mean, so that was really cool
to be
there.
That's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. And ALC or something like that was going on. So there was some music festival as well. So it was just a great buzz. We were right down on Rainy Street and was able to make some really great connections and talk about best practices in the space. So it was a great little conference that we were able to go to. And I'm excited to be back back in the saddle this week. So very excited, man.
Yeah, one of the things I love about Austin is Rainy Street and how they kind of made that. I was there when it first started, and you know, it's kind of a cool concept, you know, with like the old houses that have restaurants in them and just kind of how they zone that street.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think Kansas City could take some notes. I mean, it felt so alive down there. Yes, we have Power and Light District, but it was very homey. The hotels were right there, which was very cool, and they had all kinds of craft beer and food trucks. It was just it was a lot of fun, man.
With that, and you got a new haircut too.
So, I did. I lost a couple pounds.
You can fit in Austin, man. You got the cool haircut now.
Yes, man. I had to get my hair finally cut. The COVID 6 or 7 inches that I had, I had to get taken care of. So I got a lot of compliments on it. So I'm feeling very good about the new haircut.
I love it, man. I love it. Logan Freeman is our guest today on the Grill Nation Show. I want to just kind of talk to you. I read one of your blogs on your website, FTWinvestmentsLLC.com, in this first segment, and then we'll preview the rest of the show. But you had a really interesting article, and also I got it on email about not competing to beat the market. And you had an example on there, which I thought was kind of interesting, about a carnival. Talk about that. I thought that was really cool.
Well, as a Midwestern boy, you know, living in Cole County, I grew up going to the Jefferson City Fair and obviously the Missouri Fair here in Sedalia. And so I grew up with all of the Kearney games. And so I wanted to write something about this because I think it can correlate to the investing world. But you know, I think there's a lesson to be learned from amusement parks and carnival games. And it's that the biggest crowds are around the games that offer the biggest prizes. You know, you got the giant bears. I think they even have Xbox consoles now. So you get the picture, right? I mean, and you know the games that I'm talking about, right? You try to land a ping pong ball in the cup of the middle of 100 cups, right? Or try to fit the ring around the neck of a bottle. And as many times as I used to try, you know, and I never made it. I never made that. But, you know, and hardly anybody ever wins those games. But people cannot resist the chance to win big. And there's always that one lucky person out of 100 that gives everyone else hope. You know, you see the lights go off and they won the game, right? And everybody sees that guy or gal walking around with a giant teddy bear. What I learned about that is you can buy those teddy bears as well, by the way. So keep that. parents, I think, end up buying those things at the end of the day. But the reality is that the odds are not in your favor with those types of games. And, you know, I'm not opposed to all of the carnival games. You know, the ones that I like are the sports games. So you throw football through a tire. You know, that's something that I have better odds at winning because of my experience. And the prizes start smaller, but you can trade them up for bigger prizes as you win more and more games. And if you have the skills, you can win the big prize without shelling out a ton of money. And I think there's an analogy here into the world of investing. Most people are trying to hit the home run with stock investing or, you know, something of the likes of crypto now, right? And they're fighting against big odds. Sure, I think an investor will get lucky once in a while, but for the most part, very few people beat the market, just like very few people beat the house at the amusement park. And, you know, even the pros, I mean, they fail to beat the market. You know, and if you look at the past 15 years, nearly 90% of actively managed investment funds have failed to beat the market. And those people aren't slouches. And you can hear this from Howard Marks, Ray Dalio, and that's why they've niched down just like we have. In the world of investments, I prefer assets that I have more control of, where I can put my experience and skills to use. And so in commercial real estate, you know, our goal is not to beat the market because we're not interested in playing the market. We prefer the commercial real estate game where the payoffs may be slow for some people's taste, but they're steady. And by reinvesting those gains through 1031 exchanges, you can keep trading in for bigger and bigger prize, man. So the important advantage of commercial real estate, I think, is that you can force rent improvements and appreciation through proactive moves, and you are in control. And that's the bottom line. We're not competing with the market.
Very interesting. I love when you guys compare things and give us analogies. That definitely helps for the people out there that aren't as smart about investing as I am. Making it as simple as possible. Before we get to our second segment today, I want to kind of give us an overview again about what you all do at FTW Investments LLC and your role. The website again is FTWinvestmentsLLC.com/GrillNation for more information. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So our company is a private equity company based in Kansas City, but we now have holdings in Nebraska. We're moving to Iowa, Arkansas, and Oklahoma as well. But our goal is to give institutional quality investment opportunities to passive investors. So you let us manage the toilets, the tenants, and the trash, and you get all the benefits of investing into commercial real estate. So that's what we do. On a regular basis, we're finding off-market properties that we can add value to, and you get to capitalize on all the upside there.
And you guys are growing. You're adding more to your team. I'm seeing your name in the news more, in the media. You guys are doing really well.
Yeah, we are up to 12 people now at FTW Investments, which is just wild. We just recently added an associate asset manager and an investor relations associate. We're very excited about those two new hires, and we're quickly growing. So we're also adding a construction manager position so we can manage all of our construction in-house. And, you know, being vertically integrated is very important in this business, meaning we can control every aspect of the business plan that we're implementing on these projects.
You guys are doing a lot of great things. FTWinvestmentsLLC.com/GrillNation. On today's show, in our next segment, we're going to talk to Logan about How to get rich during a downturn, another exciting topic to talk about. We're also going to talk about kind of the many things you should know about investing, and especially investing with FTW Investments. And then our final segment, we're going to talk about some interesting topics around investment diversification gone wrong. Everyone talks about diversify, 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 but there are things that could go wrong. So we're going to break into those as well. You're listening to the Grill Nation show. I appreciate you joining us, whether you're listening on the radio, if you're joining us on social media, or if you are listening on podcast. We'll be right back after the break. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today on the radio, on podcast, on our YouTube page, on our website. However you're listening or watching, we greatly appreciate it. The website for me is grillnationshow.com. And we are joined again today by Logan Freeman, who is one of the co-founders of FTW Investments. Their website is ftwinvestmentsllc.com. And for purposes of this show, add a Grill Nation after the website for more information and a free investor tool guide that they have on their website. Logan, we were talking about kind of, investments and kind of the example you gave with the carnival was very insightful. But I want to kind of turn now to, getting rich during a downturn. I want to start off with some famous Warren Buffett quotes that you believe apply to this topic. So let's start there. Tell us about what Warren Buffett thinks.
Well, we study Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, every single week. And one of my favorite quotes from his is, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And just to follow all that up, he's famous for saying zig when others zag. And so what we have done, I think very well, is even though during the coronavirus pandemic, there was kind of a lot of fear out there. We stood to our investment thesis and our fundamentals, and that really proved to be very successful for us. What we're seeing now is property prices in commercial real estate be 18% higher than they were at the beginning of the pandemic and 8% higher than they were pre-pandemic, meaning, there was a little short window where if you had the confidence, the chutzpah, as Sam Zell would say, to make some big bets, you didn't have the competition that you usually do. And now that we're seeing that uncertainty out of the market, a lot of people are being very greedy, and asset prices have gone through the roof. And so, it's making it very difficult to continue to find these good assets. But during the coronavirus pandemic last year, it allowed us to make some big bets, and we were definitely greedy whenever everybody else was fearful, and when everybody was looking left, we were going right. And I think that's a big proponent to our growth and our success up to this point, Jason.
Mm-hmm. So the smart investors, they put their money in different places during a downturn, or where do they put it mostly?
Yeah, I mean, to get rich during a downturn, you always try to follow the smart money and not the self.
Yeah, I had that in my notes as the smart money, but then I changed it to investors. But it is smart money. You want to follow the smart money.
Yeah, and this is not the self-professed smart money on CNBC, but the real smart money. So if somebody's very interested in this, you can go look at asset allocation from a group called Tiger 21, and that's a group that we follow very closely. And one of the principal lessons we can learn from the smart is to not shrink or sit on the sidelines during a downturn. You have to invest with confidence, but don't just invest in anything. And you have to have a sound strategy to know where you put the money. And, they put their money to the same place they've always put their money. They just put more of it there. And they have three kind of guiding principles. And that's seeking diversified cash flow through private equity and commercial real estate, seeking assets with intrinsic value, which I know we're going to unpack, and then thinking long term. So those are the three principles of the smart money that people really focus on during a downturn.
Mm-hmm. Well, Logan, let's start there. We're going to talk a lot about diversification, but let's start with diversified cash flow. What does that actually mean? What does it mean to seek that?
Sure. So passive investments in cash flowing assets can, be across a range of geographic locations, asset classes, price points, and property types. And that what you're looking for is recession-proof cash flow. So you invest in demand. And if everybody's been watching kind of the media, you're seeing folks that are looking for houses, but they're also being priced out. And so they have to find places to live, right? And so I think that you can diversify in commercial real estate across a geographic location, but also asset classes, something that we're doing right now currently. But buying stocks in a downturn, especially now when prices, you know, a lot of self-proclaimed or very successful investors feel like prices are overvalued, you might have to wait for years to make any money from those stocks as they stabilize and their prices move beyond their current overvalued prices. But investments in assets that rely on appreciation for profits, if there are any profits, means zero cash flow. And so that's not the business that we're in. We're in the business of creating cash flow on these assets. And so you can be enjoying that cash flow from day one. So we try to invest in demand. Obviously, rental properties have been in demand. Different places to own your business and run your business have been in demand as well. So think about places that you can work, eat, and play. So diversified cash flow streams will ensure consistent, reliable income through a recession as well as a recovery, which we're seeing right now. And if you track the National Multifamily Housing Council's rent tracker during the coronavirus pandemic, all of the rental property that they were tracking proved to be a very strong and safe asset class to be in.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt. Very well said. I want to move to your second guiding principle of the strategy of getting rich during a downturn. And that is, investing in things with intrinsic value or seeking assets with intrinsic value. What does that mean?
Sure. So assets with intrinsic value are tangible, meaning you can touch them and they have implicit value separate from what investors are willing to pay for them on the market. So think about cash flowing real estate. It derives its intrinsic value from rental income. And over time, rents increase because of rising demand due to population growth apart from inflation. That's the intrinsic value of commercial real estate and what contributes to appreciation over time. Stocks have no intrinsic value. They have no value separate from what other people are willing to pay for them at a given time. And they typically don't generate income and they're not tangible. And that is the critical risk that we're seeing that comes with investing in stocks. It's the potential that your investment can go to zero without any tangible asset backing it. And so real estate, on the other hand, affords investors a level of protection that stocks don't. You know, think about this. Even in a liquidation, unlike stocks, there are typically assets remaining to distribute to passive investments because we have the ability to sell that investment as well. And that's the value of tangibility of commercial real estate. And I think that what we've seen recently with the rent growth that we've seen in Kansas City and in other markets like Phoenix and the Sun Belt, we're seeing a lot of rent growth to the tune of 11 to 14% over the last 12 months, which is just incredible. Kansas City is somewhere closer to 4 or 5%, depending on the asset class. But even if you think about triple net lease investments or commercial investments, not on the multifamily side, they typically have rent bumps built into the leases. So they're keeping up and maybe even at some point exceeding inflation, which is very important. So that's the intrinsic value that is created from commercial real estate.
Yeah, it's amazing how many, you travel a lot, you see other places, you see Kansas City. I mean, the amount of multifamily that's going up is amazing, but also it's not enough. I mean, based on the demand, which, you know, people see multifamily going up on the side of the highway or rehabs and whatnot, and they think, oh, we got so many apartments or so many whatever, but it's really almost at capacity. So that's why it keeps happening and keeps building and keep, restoring older buildings. So it's exciting to see. And it's obviously a great investment as well. And then the last thing you talked about a little briefly was the long-term value and what you need to think about. And I guess my question for you is it thinking long-term as easy as it sounds?
It is not. It is definitely not. And, you know, one thing what you just mentioned is a supply and demand disequilibrium that we're seeing right now. I mean, frankly, people think about population growth as the only driver. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people waiting to be admitted, so to speak, into the United States. Just call the embassies or look at the embassy data. So, I mean, we don't necessarily have a population growth issue here, especially if we just open the doors to many of those places that many of those people from coming from different countries are trying to get in. But thinking long term, you know, these, you know, investments in real estate are illiquid. They have lockup periods of a minimum of 5 to 7 years. And it's this illiquidity that prevents investors in these assets from panicking. in a downturn where investors head for the exit, and that creates extreme volatility in the market. So commercial real estate has a really low correlation to the broader markets because of its illiquidity. You cannot just say, hey, today I want to sell my whole portfolio or this investment. So investors are prevented from cashing out and triggering runs on the market. And so I think that's a really important point to make here. And then the cyclical nature of the economy means that downturns are inevitable. Just study history. But there's no need to shrink in the face of that disasters. There are opportunities to make great investment decisions. You just have to know where to look and what to look for. And, you know, if you follow groups like Tiger 21 and other smart investment groups, commercial real estate has been a long reliable source of wealth in any environment. But you do have to think long term. You do have to say, hey, this is money that I'm really not going to need in the next 5 to 7 years. And you have to be patient. I always say that commercial real estate investing is not a get rich quick scheme. It's a get wealthy slow scheme. And it's very important to keep that in mind when you're starting to invest in real estate.
Well said. You know, I wish I could think like that more often. 5 to 7 years. I like that. And then too, you know, you have a lot of complications around some of these issues around, you know, local municipalities and zoning rules and where they want their city to be and with population or with, you know, different types of housing, right? So we're seeing a lot of that. And it's a trend that not only is happening a lot in our metro area, but also across the country is, you know, trying to find ways to create more affordable or more attainable or more luxury, whatever you want to call it, it exists. So that's got to get through the process as well. So it really is kind of a long-term play too.
It absolutely is. And one of my mentors is always telling me, Logan, just stay in the game, you know? And he's like, I never sell my real estate, you know? And that makes a lot of sense. If you just stay in the game and you can be patient, this can create a lot of wealth for investors.
I love it. And we're going to talk more with Logan Freeman here after the break. We're going to break into some of the things you need to know to get started, as well as what you need to know along the journey of investing with FTW and others, other really great information that he's going to share about kind of the process and kind of the distribution. What are the differences between them and others? Can you transfer investments? So many different topics we're going to get into here on the Grill Nation show. Thank you again for joining me, Jason Grill, and Logan Freeman from FTW Investments. LLC.com here on the show this week. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today on the radio on KMBZ 980 AM, on podcast networks, Google, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or on our website, grillnationshow.com. Again, joined by an expert and leader in our community and in our city, but also on a national level with investments, FTW Investments, LLC.com, joined by Logan Freeman, one of the co-founders of FTW Investments. Logan, on this next segment, we're going to talk about, you know, how do we get started with FTW Investments, 17 things you should know about investing with FTW. Let's break into it now. So what are the initial steps and how do I get started?
We take an educational approach. And so I think the first step is to simply get to our website, which you've mentioned multiple times, FTWinvestmentsLLC.com. We have a simple intake form at that link that you guys can find. Once you submit that form, we're going to reach out to you to schedule a phone or an online meeting. If you're local here to Kansas City, potentially a coffee or a beer, you know, at happy hour. And so, you know, basically the goal is just to understand kind of what your investment thesis is and what goals you're trying to accomplish and see if we're the right fit. You know, we have to be mutually beneficial here. And so if that call goes in the right direction, then basically we have an investment portal where we house all of our investment opportunities in. And once you sign up for that portal, you're going to be able to see past projects. You're going to be able to see the upcoming projects that we have. And then also, you know, you're going to be added to our email list. So you're going to get these blogs that we write on a regular basis that Jason speaks of.
Yeah, you do a great job, man. I learn a lot every time. Even if I'm not even at the time where I'm ready to invest, I learn something every time you send something out. So it's great. You also do webinars and whatnot as well. So it's a great list to be on. So those are the initial steps. Let's move on to kind of like what type of investments we'd be investing in?
You know, we do a typical, you know, structure of our kind of projects is, or how we raise capital for these projects is we'll typically have a new project and then invite folks to a live webinar where we're going to be going through that investment presentation. And, you know, we do these either during the day or sometimes in the evening, but it gives our investors the ability to kind of sign in and basically engage with myself and Parker and Corey, my business partners, and ask questions. So we'll present the project for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then we have the opportunity to answer those questions. And we obviously find that the question and answer part of that webinar is extremely beneficial to our investors. But typically we focus on multifamily investment opportunities. So think of an apartment complex, 50 units and above are typically what we focus on. And they're going to be focused here in the Midwest. So mostly Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Iowa for the time being. But we also are starting to get into creating some value through different asset classes, such as neighborhood retail, shopping centers, and doing some historic readaptive use projects. So we're actually purchasing a hotel right now in Independence, Missouri, and converting it to affordable housing, working with our nonprofit Restart to be able to house people that are either homeless or at risk of being homeless. So it's a very cool project that we're going to be working on, and we're starting to bring more of those types of assets to our investors as well.
Yeah, and again, we talked about this a little bit on the last segment. The duration is a minimum of 5 years, up to 10 years usually, and I don't believe you can't transfer your investments, correct?
So, you know, the illiquidity of this is one thing people need to think about, but the transfer of the investment works in two ways, right? So when we either refinance the property, because most of our projects are what's called value add, meaning we have some sort of cosmetic upgrade or operational efficiency that we are completing on the project, which then increases the value of the project, and we can refinance that project and pull a lot of the investors' capital out. So that's one way that you can get your capital out of the project and still own your portion of the project. The other piece is selling. So we've gone through the sale of a few assets this year. You can either elect to do a 1031 exchange and roll those proceeds forward to the next project, or you can take your cards off the table at that time, just well knowing that you will have some sort of tax implication based on your specific individual situation. So that's kind of how we think about transferring these investments, either through a cash out refinance and hold for long term, or through the sale of the asset in a 1031 exchange.
Again, I really, you know, everyone's concerned about money here. So how often do the distributions take place?
Typically, depending on the project, 3 quarters after the close of a project, just to make sure we have enough operational reserves on hand to handle anything that was unforeseen, we will start to make quarterly distributions. And so these investments pay you on a quarterly basis, and there's a preferred return that you will be receiving on that quarterly basis. If the project goes to plan, then we'll have the opportunity to refinance or sell a little bit earlier, which will give you your initial investment back plus any proceeds that we have on that refinance or sale as well.
And let's say I'm very happy with what's going on. Can I add funds? How does that work?
Right now, the way that these are structured are what's called a single asset syndication. And so basically what that means is we are raising capital for a specific project. And so once that project is closed, typically there's not another opportunity to add funds to that specific project. But one of the things that we focused on, and I think that our investors expect now and really have found beneficial, is the consistent deal flow that we're able to bring. And I'll say that we're cautiously optimistic in today's marketplace. But typically every month we'll have one to two new transactions that you can invest in. So not necessarily can you add funds to a previous investment, but you can continue to invest on a monthly basis as we bring new opportunities to our investors group.
Yeah, one of the things that that everyone worries about is reporting.
Sure.
And kind of the hassle of that. Tell us about that and what is that like?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. Not only have we bolstered on assets in our company to allow us to focus on new acquisitions and financial controls, but we have some of the best reporting in the industry in regards to the monthly reports that you're going to receive during the value add process. So typically, if we're doing a value add deal, for the first 3 to 5 months, you'll receive a monthly update. And every quarter, you'll actually get a more in-depth financial analysis of how the investment is going. And that's all done through our investor portal. So it's very seamless. All of the updates are stored there, so you can look at any update that has happened. So for the first couple months, it's going to be monthly. Once we're hitting some sort of stabilization period in the property, then it moves to a quarterly basis. And, you know, we have an investors relations team that you can always reach out to and ask questions to. We want to make ourselves very readily accessible to our investors as well.
Real briefly, Logan Freeman is joining us from FTW Investments. Who can invest? Let's not get into all the details as far as accredited or unaccredited, but what type of funding are you talking about to just get in the door?
I would say this, you know, it's easier to invest in these projects if you have a pre-existing relationship with one of our sponsors, so myself or my two business partners. So that's why it's so important to have that first call and continue to build that relationship together. But our minimum investments typically range from $25,000 to $50,000 and are lower for existing investors. So what we'll see a lot of times happen is somebody might have a self-directed IRA or a solo 401k, so a retirement account that allows them to invest into these commercial real estate investments. And they might have an extra $15,000 or $17,000 that they want to kind of allocate to a project. And if you're already an existing investor, we don't really limit the amount of money that you can invest into our projects. But if you're a first-time investor, you can expect about $25,000 to $50,000 are pretty much our minimums on all of these projects.
I got to start saving some money up, Logan. No, I will talk to you more about this. I do want to learn more even myself.
Absolutely.
And one question I have is, are the investments guaranteed?
Well, I'm going to be very careful in answering this question, but the answer is no. There's never a guaranteed return on an investment in a private investment in real estate. You know, real estate has its own risk profile that you have to be comfortable with. And that's why the education is so important about how these investments work and where the cash flows are coming from. So we never guarantee an investment, but what we do is provide a preferred return, which just means our passive investors receive a certain amount, either 7 to 9% typically on their money before anybody else is paid on the investment. So I'm proud to say we haven't really had any issues paying those preferred returns up to this point across a portfolio that's very close to $100 million in real estate now. So it's not guaranteed, but we do have capital stack kind of preferential treatment to our passive investors to make sure you get paid before anybody on my team does.
And that's kind of where I wanted to go as we finish our third segment of the show today is how is FTW Investments compensated? I mean, this is something that when sure. I put my money into that solo K or, you know, an IRA with one of, you know, good friends of ours and you know, just the typical, you know, put it away and just every year and then hopefully I'll be able to retire at some age. You know, you get a percentage of that every year they do for management. How does it work with FTW and how are you compensated?
Great question. You know, there's a couple different ways that our company is compensated. The first being through an acquisition fee. So when we are purchasing a property, in all of our financial models, you will see an acquisition fee that is paid to FTW Investments. And basically what that is covering is us finding the opportunity, running down all the due diligence costs, and putting it through a very rigorous process up front and making sure that we bring this to our investors. So we have an acquisition fee up front. We then have an asset management fee on the invested equity as it basically goes through the transition from stabilized to sale. So basically, you know, you can think about very similar to the setup that you would have with maybe a financial advisor. We have an asset management fee on that invested equity. We obviously oversee a lot of construction, so there's not a lot of profit here, but we do have a construction management fee to make sure that all the properties are getting the cosmetic upgrades that they need. Other fees that you might see are our disposition fee when we go to sell the property, a refinance fee if we basically, if we're able to refinance earlier and not have to sell, there is a refinance kind of success fee. And then you'll see a property management fee, which does not go directly to FTW Investments. It goes to the vendor that we're working on. But that's kind of how we're compensated. The last I'll say this is, you know, there's a promote structure. So like I said, there's a preferred return of 7 to 9%. And then above that, after our investors are paid back their initial invested equity, we have a promote. So the actual profits above that 7 to 9% are split between our company and the investor. So that really starts to come to fruition after the value add is completed and a project is stabilized.
Great stuff from Logan Freeman, FTW Investments. We'll be right back with more after the break. Thanks for joining us today on the Grill Nation Show. final segment of today's Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us again today. I'm happy to have you back. We've had a great show with Logan Freeman, who is with FTW Investments, LLC.com. Go to FTWInvestmentsLLC.com/Grill Nation for more information and to download your free investors toolkit and to learn more and to get some fascinating emails from them and learn how you can invest and make a return on a long-term investment in just a great market right now as far as commercial real estate goes and other things they're working on too with hotels and affordable and whatnot. Logan, let's talk about diversification going wrong. Another great blog that you put out. You know, what are Mark Cuban, who obviously everyone has heard of, and Warren Buffett's opinions on diversification?
All right, take this with a grain of salt, but Mark Cuban says that diversification is for idiots. And and Warren Buffett says diversification is a protection against ignorance. It makes very little sense for those who know what they're doing. And Mark Cuban and Warren Buffett are not fans of diversification. Idiot is a strong word, but Cuban is not referring to every type of investment diversification, just stock market diversification, which in his defense can be foolish in some points. So the general idea behind diversification is that it reduces risk, right? Preventing any big losses in your portfolio. The problem with it is it prevents big wins as well. And so when you're spreading risk through diversification, you can be diluting your returns on the risk return spectrum. And so that's why those guys are so adamant about against being against diversification. Think about Cuban and Buffett. Those guys are, you know, experts in what they do, right? And that's what they've always done. And so they're not necessarily diversifying like the broader audience in the United States and other folks that are investing in the equities market. So I think that you just have to be really careful when you just hear that word, because diversification really needs to be broken down into different things, like we're going to talk about it here very soon, I think.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. And one of the examples you give out is like cards.
Yeah.
So how is the stock market diversification like cards?
Yeah, so stock market diversification is like playing six hands at the blackjack table, right? And betting the same amount on every hand. The odds that you're going to win these three hands and lose those three hands, you know, could come out even. So even if you win four hands and lose two, you water down your winnings. The skilled blackjack players don't water down their winnings. Instead, they use their skill to maximize the returns on one hand. In the same vein, skilled investors don't water their returns down either. They prefer to make educated investment choices. So watered down returns aside, the other problem with diversification is that it offers no protection from a crash. So you just watch, I was on a trip in Charleston not too long ago, and a couple of the buddies that were there were just obsessed with watching poker and playing poker. And I didn't really understand why. And then I remember that we wrote this blog very similar about diversification. It's because they're skilled at that little that one little game that they're playing. But what was fun was I was able to come in here, and we're seeing this in the investing world as well. I don't play poker very often, and I think I had beginner's luck because I didn't know what I didn't know and started beating them all, and they got really upset about it. I think we're seeing that a lot, and Peter Malouk just recently talked about this on his podcast, was that's not going to last forever, right? I mean, it's just not. And so the folks with skilled expertise are the ones that are going to come out ahead.
Yeah, I'm not the best poker player as well. I never really played. I'm more of a craps dice kind of guy than I am a blackjack or a poker kind of guy. So
yeah.
What is auto diversification? Logan, let's learn more about that.
Yeah, auto diversification is diversification in a box. It's kind of marketed by Wall Street for its convenience, and it's sold as ETFs and mutual funds. And it's conditioned on the merits of diversification, which the general public kind of goes with the flow on. And so when you think about investing in mutual funds and ETFs, it can relieve them from picking the basket of stocks themselves. So the ease and the convenience of investing in these types of opportunities are why employees are content with planning their retirements through employers' 401k plans. And so what we're seeing now is that the SEC is really allowing folks to use these retirement accounts to actually invest in different opportunities like commercial real estate. So just some proof of this, just look at mutual fund performance. You know, 92% of large cap funds fail to beat the S&P 500. And so as from protection from a crash, there is no such thing. And back in 2008, there was a running joke that with the market crash, 401ks were turning into 201ks. You know, the nation's 401ks and IRAs lost about $2.4 trillion in the final two quarters of 2008. So those aged 30 to 50 saw returns of negative 30%, and over half the people that were over the age of 60 lost more than 20%. So just think about diversification being a buzzword that Wall Street uses to take advantage of some people who want ease and convenience. But unfortunately, the only ease and convenience derived from diversified products like we've talked about are the management fees and mutual funds that a lot of people are making money on, Jason.
I do that, so maybe I need to reevaluate. Active diversification, what is that?
Not all diversification is bad. Active diversification is smart diversification. It's mitigating risk without sacrificing return. returns. And ultra-wealthy investors like Buffett and Cuban are anti-auto diversification, but they're not against smart diversification. And their portfolios are spread across multiple assets, but their diversification goals are different from the average investor because their goals are different from those of the average investor. While the average investor is banking on the 401ks and portfolios appreciating over time, savvy investors are investing for income, cash flow, and appreciation like we talked of earlier. And so because of that income component, the vital for building wealth through reinvestment, like we also have talked about, savvy investors allocate the majority of their portfolios to alternative income producing tangible assets like real estate. You got private equity in there, agriculture, and a lot of folks I know that are in oil and gas as well.
Briefly, what are the main advantages that you see of investing in tangible? We talked about that, tangible cash flowing assets.
Yep. Yeah. So the biggest one, I think, is that they're uncorrelated to Wall Street. And so they're less susceptible to downturns. And, you know, I think if you watch CNBC, you watch a lot of these money kind of gurus, you'll see the opportunity to get away from kind of the mainstream media and be able to look through the noise and see groups like Tiger 21 really kind of get into these alternative assets, which appreciate over time. And so through smart diversification, meaning taking a portion of your allocation that you have into your entire retirement accounts and putting them into alternatives, their income streams can be protected. And they don't spread their portfolios thin as well. So they get to learn one type of investment opportunity. Maybe that's real estate. Maybe it's something else. They find folks that are experts in that space and they start to invest with them. And so I think that once you do that, you can start to become knowledgeable and skilled in analyzing those types of opportunities, which allows you to invest passively by leveraging the skill set of that sponsor. And, you know, that's what I like to always say is, you know, in this business, there's people behind the real estate and the investment. And so you really have to get to know those people. And that's one thing that's been really successful for us is, you know, we have close to 800 investors now. And I've got every single one of their phone numbers in my phone. And I field text messages and calls and voicemails from them on a regular basis. But there is a personal touch to this. You know, they can call and see, or if they're local, they can drive by the property and see the different things that are happening and the construction that's going on. And I think people like that. And that's that tangibility of this type of investment and the personal touch. And it really makes people feel very comfortable.
We got about 30 seconds left, Logan. If somebody does have a mutual fund or they have a person who helps them with you know, different investments, kind of the typical 401k advisor. How do they work with you? You mentioned sometimes you can take some of those funds that are in your, you know, your account, like with a big company like a Schwab or an ETF, yep, and then invest some of that money into what you're doing.
Absolutely. This is one of the largest sources of capital that we see from our investors is they will basically work with their investment advisor and create what's either called a self-directed IRA, a solo 401k, or an EQRP. These are all different options that you have to evaluate for yourself. So they'll roll over maybe some of their funds into a new account that there's plenty of providers out there. Rocket Dollar is one of them that we work with on a regular basis. Equity Trust, another one, that allow people to find sponsors like ourselves and then place those monies that they have already set aside for the retirement into these types of investments. I'm definitely not an expert on actually how to set those up and or the tax implications for that. I'm just speaking from my own experience, what our investors have been able to do, and basically get access to these types of investments. And we work with all those providers and they can invest in these deals just like somebody would that had extra, you know, $50,000 sitting around.
Well, you know, the people I work with, cause they live close by. So we'll have to connect you guys or absolutely, we'll just have a beer sometime and we'll figure it out. Logan Freeman, FTW Investments. The website is FTWinvestmentsLLC.com/GrillNation. Also FTWinvestmentsLLC.com. Great information, Logan. Thank you again for joining us and congrats on all your success. And we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Thank you. And thanks to the listeners and watchers for joining us today on The Grill Nation Show. We'll see you again next week. Take care and have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK. It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.